Hello, and welcome to Sentencing Practice Talk, a podcast for federal sentencing practitioners. My name is John Scapini, and I'm with the United States Sentencing Commission. You're listening to a special mini-series on guideline amendments effective on November 1st, 2024, and appear in the 2024 Guidelines Manual. In this episode, my colleagues Lori Baker and Ross Thomas cover the amendment process in general, and then subsequent episodes will explain individual amendments one at a time. Policy areas include acquitted conduct, loss calculations, circuit conflicts, youthful individuals, and miscellaneous and technical amendments. You can listen to all of the episodes in this series on iTunes and Spotify or on our website. Without further ado, here are Lori and Ross.
Joining me today to talk about amendments is our very own Ross Thomas. Ross is the Deputy Director of the Office of Education and Sentencing Practice. If you've been listening to our recent podcast, you know that I come to the Commission with a background as a U.S. probation officer. So Ross also comes to us as a practitioner, but his background is different from mine. But I'll let Ross tell you about himself. Hi, Ross.
Hey, Lori. Thanks for having me on our sentencing series podcast. I am happy to talk about the amendments. But first, a little bit about myself. So I've been at the commission for about 4 years now, and Lori and I work very closely together. But before I came to the commission, I was an assistant federal public defender in the District of Connecticut, and I was also a law clerk and a staff attorney. So a bunch of different experiences, all of which related to federal sentencing.
Yeah, I think one of the cool things about our unit is that everyone on the team brings a little bit different background to the table. So we're a diverse team, but we all have some kind of experience as a practitioner in the field. So I have to admit, when I was working as a probation officer, the only thing I knew about amendments was that a new book was going to show up on my desk sometime around November 1st, and I needed to know what was different from the previous year. I didn't pay attention to how amendments came to be. I didn't know anything about the process. But like so many other things, I've learned a lot since coming to the commission. So I think we're going to start by talking about that process so that people understand the amendment cycle, what the starting point is, how the commissioners even come up with the ideas for what we're going to look at during the year, and then ultimately what amendments will take effect in the fall. So can you tell us a little bit about that process?
Yeah, no, I'm happy to. And it's funny because I think my experience was pretty similar to yours. I got a new book. It was always like this big mystery. Sometimes I'd go on the website and I'd see things about proposed amendments, but I was really very confused until I actually got here. And what I've learned is that the amendment process takes about an entire year. And there are various stages in the amendment process. And really importantly, there's a lot of work happening at the commission. We're hearing from the major interest groups, getting feedback. There are a lot of people doing data research so that the final form of the amendment, but it's really like the result of a year-long process in which we're hearing from people and doing research, and I think that's just really important. So just sort of like a background of what happens throughout that year, it usually begins sometime in the summer, and during the summer, the commissioners get together and they think about, okay, what are the key things we want to examine over the upcoming year? And they'll usually put out a list of proposed priorities sometime in June. And that feedback mechanism where they're really listening to what people in the field, what other experts think the commission should focus on, and they update that list and come up with a final priorities list in August. A few months goes by where they think about, okay, how can we tinker with the amendment language? And they usually put something out in December or January where it's proposed amendments. After that, they'll again get feedback from the public. We will continue to sort of do research about these amendments, and they will hold hearings where they will invite people who will talk about, okay, this is a good change, or this is a bad change, or maybe you should modify it a little like this. And then sometime in April, there'll be a public meeting where the commissioners will get together, and they will vote on what the changes will be. Those changes have to be sent to Congress before May 1st. And unless Congress passes some sort of legislation rejecting those changes, which is pretty unusual, we'll get a new book in November. So November 1st of each year, if Congress doesn't act, we will have all of our final changes.
So a lot of work really goes in behind the scenes. For those of us that were working out in the field and we knew that a new book came and we needed to pay attention, it's really a lot of work going on over that period of a year. And it sounds like you're saying that information from the public and from various stakeholders is really an important factor in what the commissioners choose to consider. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. I think at every public meeting, you will hear the chair of the commission say, when you speak to the commission, you will be heard. And he means it. And us here at the commission, who are staff, are very busy throughout the year reading all of that public comment, going and doing legal research or doing some sort of data research, and trying to figure out, okay, what is the best version of the amendment that there can be? So this is not just people siloed up in Washington, D.C., making changes that affect thousands of people every single year. It is really the result of this informed, like, feedback mechanism.
Yeah, it really sounds like it. And I would agree with you. Being on staff here, we're all a part of looking at that public comment. And we literally read everything that comes in. So we try to send that message out to people as well, that if they have an opinion, something that needs to be changed or looked at, let us know. We're going to read it and we're going to take a look at it. So I think that's really important for people to know that they are being heard. So we have some amendments on the horizon here, and we're going to talk about those individually. Can you just tell us generally, before we move on into the individual topics, you know, what they are? What are the big ticket items that we need to be looking at?
Absolutely. I think there are about five that we should be thinking about. The first one is acquitted conduct, which is something the commission has been working on not just last year, but for many years. They also examined the rule against loss, or the rule for calculating loss, in 2B1.1. The third change is really kind of two sets of changes, and that has to do with circuit conflicts. So different circuits have come to different conclusions about what the guidelines say or mean. So there are two of those that we will be discussing. The fourth one is youthful individuals, how we treat individuals who were youthful at the time of their instant offense or the time of prior offenses. And then finally, I'm going to combine these two, but they're separated out if you actually read through the reader-friendly version. And that's our miscellaneous amendments. I'm going to talk about two big changes there. Some technical amendments that have to do with 4C1.1, which is a big change from 2023. So we'll talk about those individually.
Well, before we transition into those topics, can you let us know what resources there are on the website for people that want to follow along with the amendment cycle or submit public comment or look at the amendments that are on the horizon?
Oh, that's such a great point. So on our website, under the policymaking tab on our homepage, you can see the amendments in brief, which will give you some kind of short information about all the things that I'm going to talk about today. You can read the word-for-word amendment language that is going into effect. And if you're interested in our upcoming amendment cycle, we have a list of policy priorities, because that's where we are in the cycle. The summer has passed. It is now fall, even though it kind of feels pretty warm in D.C. these days. So you can see the final priorities, and hopefully sometime in December or January, you'll be able to also see that proposed language. And throughout this period, you will be able to comment. And as we said a million times, we will read it and you will be heard.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sentencing Practice Talk. You can listen to each part of this mini-series on iTunes and Spotify, as well as our website. Please be advised that the information provided by Commission staff is offered to assist in understanding and applying the sentencing guidelines. The information does not necessarily represent the official position of the Commission, should not be considered definitive, and is not binding upon the commission, court, or the parties in any case. This episode was produced and published at taxpayer expense. That's all for now. Thanks for listening.